You're listening to Business to Business, powered by Cowan Insurance Group, featuring local businesses, solutions, and success stories, connecting community through business on 570 News.
Welcome back to Business on 570 News, powered by Cowan Insurance. And this segment is brought to you by our friends at BDO. And of course, BDO is an accounting and advisory services firm in Southwestern Ontario, and they focus on working with SMEs and entrepreneurs. And we're joined, Gregory, as promised, by Paul Bourne. Of course, he is the co-CEO of the Tamarack Institute, which is a think tank institute that works with cities, getting them working together better to create connected communities and help reduce poverty, those sorts of things. Fascinating. And I was saying I've known Paul for a lot of years from his time at CODA before that.
Yep.
But also, and one of the reasons we thought to have
him
in.
This is really exciting. I think it's amazing.
He is. You brought this.
Yeah. I'm not too, not too often you get to sit down with someone who is a member of the Order of Canada. Paul, congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
thanks, Greg. Yeah.
This is just amazing news. It's phenomenal news for you. It's a testament to what you have dedicated and committed your entire life to. But more importantly, this is great for the region of Waterloo.
Well, this is an incredible region, and it's a region that celebrates risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about this place, And so, I didn't go into business, but they often say that I'm a social entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand business. I love business. It's how I grew up. What's so cool about this region is that when you take risks, they back you.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, one of the things that the Tamarack Institute and the work that you've been doing, and starting with CODA, and maybe talk a little bit about CODA and how that translated into Tamarack and what you're doing now, because that entrepreneurial stream was always something about how to connect young people and those in need and communities,
right,
with connecting business and the community need. And that's not something that a lot of people are. Mentally, you're either in business or you're in charity or you're in the social side. How did you connect those things through the work that you've done?
Well, we started in Cambridge, and it was our head office, the Community Opportunities Development Association, and our job was to help people get back to work or to start small businesses. And so we helped over 1,200 individuals who were unemployed, on social assistance, to start their own small business. And that's no small task.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up with a 81% success rate after 5 years. So that's really quite remarkable, given that most businesses don't make it.
Yeah.
But we created a real community response, right? So that meant that we had buying clubs. We had our own kind of bank.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but we had $1 million that we lent out to low-income entrepreneurs who couldn't get banking. And then once they got strong enough, the banks would kick in. And we had a business action center. So we had all these different services that helped people be more successful, helped thousands of people get back to work, particularly during free trade when all the plants were closing.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hit team that would go into a plant, and we had a 98% placement rate.
Wow.
Right? So we, and out of all that, we won one of the 40 best practices in the world from the United Nations. And after that, it was kind of a seminal moment, because as we were accepting that award, we came to realize something, that they had reviewed us for 10 years and said, you've been really successful. But we said, yeah, but poverty went up during those 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So technically we shouldn't be accepting this award, right? Because, you can certainly, it went up by 5%. So I said, what if a CEO lost 5% of his community's, of his business wealth, right, of his company's wealth, he'd probably get fired, not recognized.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So how do you, and so that got me thinking, right? So why is it that we get rewarded for what we do rather than for what the results are? And mm-hmm. so, evaluation, you say single loop versus double loop feedback. Single loop feedback is, are you doing the right, are you doing things right? We were doing them right, we were doing them really right. But are you doing the right things? That's double loop feedback, right? So, do things right, or are you doing the right things?
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, well, we got to change. right? We've got to figure out how to actually reduce poverty, not just help the poor. Mm-hmm. And that then became the defining force for a program that we founded here in Waterloo Region called Opportunities 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Greg was involved in that. Just about everybody was involved in that. That was a huge campaign toward the millennium to create the lowest level of poverty here in Canada. We succeeded. And then we had a number of philanthropists, Alan Broadbent of the Vanna Capital Corporation, the McConnell family out of Montreal, invested and asked if we had set up an institute and that we would take this work across Canada. Right. First of all, I was scared. I can't say the word on radio. I was just, you know, just put it this way.
We've heard it before here on the show.
I loved Waterloo Region. So I knew this was going to take me away from the place that I loved. But, you know, the opportunity was just too great. And hey, today, it's almost 17 years later, we're in 400 municipalities. We just opened up our first 10 in the United States. 98.2% of all people living in poverty are in one of our municipalities.
Wow.
We have the mayors of Canada working together with us. The federal government now has a poverty reduction strategy. Most provinces have one. So it's almost like a clean sweep now. And here's the beauty, right? You want to talk about numbers?
Yeah.
We now are at the lowest level of poverty in the history of Canada. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not seeing poor on the street and that we don't have a real homelessness problem.
Lots of work.
But I actually am going to say that homelessness isn't just a poverty problem.
Right.
It's way bigger than poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when we're talking about poverty, we're looking at the people who are moving in and out of poverty regularly. And so, yeah, anyway, I can talk a lot more about my ideas about poverty. And I'm kind of a capitalist at heart, so maybe we can go down that
way. Well, and I think that's the important thing. I've known Paul since he came to Cambridge and opened CODA.
Way back. And your family was extremely supportive.
Yes, they were. My dad had a real soft spot in his heart for Paul Bourne, that's for sure. But I think it was because of the attitude you bring to it. You recognize that prosperity is important.
It is.
Because it's important in order to solve the issues of the day.
It is. Now, you got to sort of understand my view on this. I don't really believe in trickle-down economics.
Right.
So that, you know, some people get wealthy and then the money sort of trickles down to the poor. That doesn't work. But for me, it's kind of like the capitalist system that we've developed in Canada is kind of like a capitalist socialist system. It's kind of a mix.
Yep.
And they often nickname me, here comes the capitalist socialist. So I'm not liked by either side very much, right? But, you know, the reality
that means
is,
you're probably right.
Yeah,
you're right exactly in the middle of that.
I just think it's so Canadian, you know, about how we do things here. And so, you know, for me, ultimately, we need the individual initiative. We need strong business, right? We need the kind of things that give people opportunity, and we need to reward opportunity. Right, that really works.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we need to come to understand that capitalism itself is not going to solve all of the issues and problems that are facing us. So we need government, right? And so I'm not saying big government or small government. I mean, both work. But in reality, we need government to shore it up. But I don't even look at it so much as the government role. I want capitalism to be more resilient. So just let me talk about that for a second. So for a long time now, almost 40 years, we have not made any progress on poverty, right? So I'm saying probably around 14% of our population is not going to succeed in this current capitalist system. So I would say that means that capitalism isn't resilient enough. But hold on, 86% of our population isn't poor. When's the last time I got 86% in school?
Yeah.
Right?
Some of us never did. So.
No, I get it.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, like, we actually are doing really well.
Yeah.
Right? But we can do better. So
have to do better.
Like the company, you would say, well, what would it look like? This is what we say to every one of our communities. So what does it look like when we gain 4 points? So now what does 10% poverty look like? What does 7% poverty look like? Right? What does it look like?
Yeah.
Right? And so you could actually then map, and then you start saying, okay, well, who are the 4% of the poor that we want to work with first? Because they're the easiest to move out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the 7% we want to work with, right? And once you start mapping that out, you start to realize that poverty is not that hard to solve, right? Thus, we're starting to bring it down, right? And my hope, okay, now this, I'm saying it live here, I'm saying it public, But my hope is we can get it down to maybe 7%. Like, just imagine, we dropped it about 4 points in the last 5 years. So if we drop it another four, we're down to 6.5 or 5.5, right? Now, at what point do we say it's no longer poverty? At what point do we say it's now maybe health poverty and not economic poverty?
Right.
And at that point, what we're trying to do is we're trying to shift the conversation to how do we actually have a sustainable healthcare system by ensuring the quality of life of those who are poor, let's say 6% of the population, right? Maybe have a guaranteed annual income. There's mm-hmm. lots of cross-party yeah. agreement on this.
Yeah.
And it was actually, Hugh Siegel brought yeah. it in. I mean, a conservative right. brought it in.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? And there's a whole theory around at a certain point when you invest in people properly, at that point in their lives, it's actually far more cost effective. And just to give you a quick example, Medicine Hat did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They said they were spending on average $32,000 per homeless person. That's what they were just in their little community.
Mm-hmm.
They solved homelessness and they did it for under $15,000 per person.
Wow.
So they're saving $17,000 per person every year.
And now you know why Paul Bourne's a member of the Absolutely. Order of Canada.
Well, you know what? This is a fascinating conversation because one of the things that is, I think is true is those that this is not a political conversation, but the parties tend to kind of go to their extremes and say, it's either this or that. And the truth is, as we discover when we're talking about things in the chamber world and we're solving community issues, There's no polar positions.
It's how you
get things done. And the business community and the community has to be part of that. And I think that's what you've described. But then at the other time to say there are some people and when you get to the margins, that's where government needs to step in and yep. say, how do we help those people that cannot help themselves or not able mm-hmm. to help themselves?
Paul Bourne is a firm member of the SANE Center.
Yeah.
And that's what we say the chambers are, always the SANE Center.
There you go. That's a marvelous way of describing it, And anyway, we'll keep going.
Well, this has been fun. We should have him back. There will be over the course of the year, and we'll keep you on speed dial since yep. you're working remotely all over the country. Next time you're in town. But when we get to budget season and we have these yep. conversations around what are we going to do to, whether it's affordable housing,
all of those kinds of things.
I think it'd be useful to add maybe yep. after budget, say, what are some of the things in the budget, whether it's provincially or federally, that are actually going to help to reduce poverty? Or what are the pieces that can drill down on some of those things?
Or maybe even just to talk not only about, because reducing poverty is about creating a great community, a
yeah.
great place to yep. live for us all. And ultimately, it's when we solve the big social problems that our quality of life goes
Absolutely.
Up.
I mean, Absolutely.
How many times can you walk by a homeless person and do nothing, right, and still feel good about yourself?
Yeah.
I ask that of people. Yeah. We can't. We got to end this.
And we know we can.
Yeah. We can.
We can because we got smart people in this community. And I think the leadership that Tamarack is showing around the world and around North America is that we can take some of those things out.
Yep.
Listen, we will have you back.
Oh, for sure.
We'll organize that. Yep. And I think around budgets, when we see yep. what are the priorities of governments to actually affect some of these things, be a good way to make it tangible for people.
Great segment. Thanks, Paul.
We're going to leave it there. We've been joined by Paul Bourne. He is the co-CEO of Tamarack Institute and Waterloo Region's latest recipient of the Order of Canada. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll be back with more on Business to Business on 570 News, powered by Cowan Insurance, right after the break.